And it all has to do with, you know, do you feel that you're going to add employees in the next few weeks, in the next few months, or are you going, you know, how do you feel about inventories? And it's questions that are really designed to get at where are they from a business standpoint. And they put all that together, and they call it the Optimism Index. And, I mean, the Federal Reserve looks at it. Everybody looks at it. And, of course, everybody likes to look at stuff when it's a record, you know. If something's really good, people report on it. If something's really bad, they report on it. But the Economic Trend Survey has been off the charts. It has been at a record high for the last 6 months of 2018. And I'm really kind of looking forward to seeing what happens in the January report, because anecdotally from what I've heard, we had a great Christmas season. The fourth quarter was dynamite for small business. And as many of you know, especially in the retail sector, the fourth quarter makes it or breaks it for a lot of small businesses. But I think from what I've heard from some of my members, it was a brisk and just being around. I mean, you guys went out shopping. It seemed to me that there was sort of a bluster of activity all the time when I was out, whether
just
it be
judging from the traffic.
Yeah, I mean, just you know, whether it be a Wednesday or a Saturday morning, it seemed like everybody was out. And so those economics will probably be coming in, I would suspect, pretty soon, middle of January, for kind of what happened in October, November, and December. But I think our members were pretty happy with the way things were going.
Are members of the NFIB generally brick and mortar institutions, or are they, you know, are there some online stuff going on there?
Yeah, both. We've got about 8,000 members. I would say the majority of them are brick and mortar businesses. Although we've got that includes a lot of different things. I mean, that's downtown, you know, my peeps downtown Jeff City. Mm-hmm. That also includes home-based businesses too. Hmm. Which are a little harder to find sometimes, but we've got a lot of home-based businesses that don't necessarily have a big old sign out front. But yeah, we've got about 8,000 members in Missouri, and we're holding steady, as we say. So,
what are you hearing from your members with the minimum wage hike officially on the books?
I've heard from some of our restaurants, they're incredibly concerned. That passed in November, and we've got a dollar jump in our minimum wage. We're going to have about a dollar jump till 2023. It's a major concern of theirs. I think everybody out there is going to see probably a nickel or a dime on your hamburgers, and maybe more than that on some of your higher price meals, and that is one of the things that's just going to happen. I don't think we're going to know from an economic standpoint exactly where we're going to be for about another 6 months. I really do think, though, you will see, especially some of your smaller restaurants, you're going to probably see some hours cut. You're going to see, if you guys like these kiosks, man, just keep voting for more higher minimum wages, because you're going to be talking into a phone or something to be ordering things. There is economic consequences when you raise wages, and what I would say, controversially, artificially.
Yeah. Well, it was a little scary, too. I just saw a story on the CBS News a couple of nights ago. I think it was from China, where they actually have little tracks running around to the various booths, and you just go ahead and you order into a speaker, and the meal arrives on a little track, and you open it up and you put it on your plate, and that's the way it's going, man.
It's, you know, I get on my high horse when it gets to minimum wage, because I really do feel that the people that they want to help the most are the ones that get helped the least. Your folks that are the lowest skilled are going to be the first ones that are going to say, I can't afford to keep them around. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that need the jobs the worst. Consequently, those people now don't have a job and are now paying more for what they eat. Mm-hmm. So right. It's, as I've always said, I've never looked at the minimum wage as being an economic issue. I've always felt that it was a political issue.
Brad Jones with us, National Federation of Independent Business. I think, too, maybe to echo Gary Nolan's take on that, oftentimes he says, yeah, well, you know, fine and dandy, he would say, about the minimum wage hikes. But he says, you know, it's a merit thing for people to get more money in the workplace. You know, you prove yourself and then you get more money. I know, as being a young person way back when, if I can remember back that far, having a minimum wage job, and then being young, having a job in pouring concrete for a whole bunch more than what minimum wage was. Happened to be a union shop at the time. But, yeah. I mean, you know, you would think things should be merit-based.
Well, I know. I blew insulation in attics, so I've said I'm going to heaven because I've already spent one summer in hell. So it's, yeah. So, but you know, you have those kind of jobs and you have those kind of teaching jobs. They really are things that you learn life lessons from. And our young people, you know, unfortunately, we're going to get this minimum wage to a point where some of these entry level jobs aren't going to be out there for our kids.
That's a good point.
So.
Also taught some of us that we did not want to blow insulation or pour concrete for a living.
John, you know what? I bet when you and I got back from those two jobs, we got some of the best grades we'd ever gotten after that experience, because I was pretty sure that was not the direction I wanted to go.
No, I just slept through class because I was so tired from actually working for a living.
That too.
KWOS Open Air with Brad Jones from the National Federation of Independent Business. Talk to him about, I don't know, heck, Amendment 1, workforce development, all sorts of things coming up for our lawmakers when we come back on KWOS Open Air. KWOS Open Air brought to you by Arts Pest Control. You stay, they go. Brad Jones in with us, Missouri Chapter, National Federation of Independent Business, 556-6397. Calls, questions, comments, even text messages, A-OK. Clean Missouri.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit, Mr. Lobbyist.
I guess so.
It's one of those.
I don't spend any money over there anyway, but this thing has thrown everybody into such a dither. It's and rightfully so. I think there's so little direction on exactly what this is going to mean, because you're supposed to only spend $5.
Some background, what lobbyists can spend with treating a lawmaker to a,
well, yeah,
a Big Mac.
You can take somebody to dinner, but this thing basically throttles the lobbyist down to $5. So, yeah. So I can buy him a donut, but it's going to have to be a glazed, you know, just a plain glazed donut. It can't
sprinkles
be anything
extra.
No, sprinkles, no sprinkles. But, I mean, there's going to be, you know, you look at the calendar of events for the Capitol, which you can find now, and you look at all the groups that bring constituents in and whatnot, and they really can't do anything. So, I mean, we got a taste of Jeff City.
Shot down.
And we've got Small Business Day at the Capitol on the February 28th. So I think we're just going to have, they can come by, but they can't eat anything. So it's... And there's no rules yet as to exactly what we can do and what we can't do. So it's going to be interesting.
KWS Open Air brought to you by Arts Pest Control. You stay, they go. Brad Jones, National Federation of Independent Business, Missouri Chapter, in with us this morning. Looking ahead, 2019 session. We've heard a lot of talk from leadership over there about zeroing in on some tort reform. And you guys keep a close eye on that, too, from your side of the house, don't you?
We do. We've had a coalition that's been formally put together to look at tort issues. There's these kind of groups that have been sprung up all over in other states, and they've been pretty effective. And I think we've been very effective the last couple of years in zeroing in on like a couple of three issues, and then really trying to prioritize and go, rather than everybody sort of spinning off doing their own thing. We've actually had some success when we all try to row in the same direction, and it's been working out pretty well. Shirley brings up a point too. They've had a lot of pre-filed bills this year. I mean, there's been over 150 something in the House and the Senate. So the particular bill she's talking about is just one of many, many, many. And as they get back into town next week, you're going to see that number swell quite a bit. And it's on everything under the sun. You know, mm-hmm. You've got tax bills, you've got bills on, you've got some labor bills, you've got bills that deal with seniors. You've got, you know, all the education bills. Transportation is going to be a big one. I'll tell you one, Dick, that you'd probably be interested to. The ones that I'm seeing a lot of is making some changes to our initiative and referendum system in Missouri, making that a little bit more difficult to get something on the ballot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's something that's been talked about for a while over there, because it's just the amount of referendums and initiatives and those kinds of things that keep popping up on the ballot. Hey, that's how we wound up with Clean Missouri, folks. I mean, this is, you know, there are things that get on the ballot that probably really should not be on the ballot and that nobody knows anything about. And all of a sudden, here's something that you're voting on that no one knows what will happen when it actually goes into effect.
Well, the ramifications of some of the, you know, this happens to us at the Capitol, and yep. We study these bills for 3 or 4 months. And I'm not saying that the electorate is stupid. I'm just saying that these are complex issues. Some of these issues are multi, well, like Amendment 1. I mean, it's got a lot of pieces to it.
Right.
It's not just the lobby reform. I mean, there's other things in there, too. So it's, you know, I think... In looking at the initiative petition process, and I've always said, I don't even know why in California they even have a legislature. It must take them 3 hours to vote in California because they've got so much stuff that's on their ballot. It must take forever for them to, and I don't think we want to get to that point. I really don't.
Well, and then you wonder, it has to be the legislature, and you have to figure out who is going to make the final rules on these things that the voters vote on, that they think they're voting on one thing and may actually be voting on another.
That's absolutely right. I mean, you're absolutely right. So, you know, it's going to be one of those stay tuned. But I always look at the number of bills as different interests, you know, as an interest matter. And there's just a whole bunch of those initiative petition bills. So that's sort of, it's not a scientific indication of where their heads are in the legislature, but there's certainly others over there that are looking at that issue saying, you know, we need to do something on this.
Yeah.
True statement. We hear that from our lawmakers, even our incoming lawmakers all the time, especially when it talks about amending the Constitution of the state of Missouri.
And that's a serious thing, and it should be. You shouldn't just be willy-nilly and changing the Constitution. But
Stay tuned. Brad Jones, National Federation Independent Business, we'll see you at the State House.
I will be over there 1 week from today.
How about that?
Wow.